In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who shows us the difference between light and dark. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when I was in undergrad, my first semester of undergrad, I didn't have a car. And I really wanted a car because, well, I lived in Nebraska. And there's nothing to walk to in Nebraska. And the most that I could do was, you know, walk down to the convenience store that was in the center of town. And it was kind of a difficult place to hang out at, even though we did sometimes. And so I decided, well, I need a car. And so what I did was I saved up my money, and I eventually found a really good deal back in St. Louis where my parents lived. And so I knew that I could travel back to St. Louis, pick up the car, and drive it back up to Nebraska over a weekend. It would be a little bit tight, but I can make it. It would be all right. And so then what I did was I had this car, and then I started watching the Weather Channel, and this was in about October, November time period. And as I was watching the Weather Channel, I noticed that the weather up in Nebraska and Iowa, which was the spots that I had to drive through, was getting a little bit, well, rough. And they were having this thing called a thunder snow. And I don't know if some of you are meteorologists, and you probably know way more about the thunder snow than what I do, but the thunder snow essentially was a massive blizzard that included lightning and thunder, and most blizzards usually don't. And so it was this epic storm, and I had my brand new to me car that I was going to be driving up into the storm. And I knew that I had to be back there because I had tests, I had different things that I had to do. And so I said, okay, it looks like if I can make it up there today, I'll miss most of the storm. Those were my famous last words. And so what I decided was, okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to make it up there. And so I got in my brand new car. Well, not brand new. It was pretty old, actually. But it was my car. And I started driving up through Missouri, across Missouri. Everything was fine. Sun was shining. Everything was great. Started going north, up the other side of Missouri, towards Iowa, and I thought, okay, things are looking pretty good. Everything looks like it's fine. Sun is shining. Looks like all of the snow from the last day is all melted. No problem. I should be able to make this without any hitches. And I was driving up and driving and driving until I got to the Iowa state border. Iowans, I know there's some of you here. Your state. When I crossed that border, what had happened was I had been driving. It takes about 8 hours to get from St. Louis to my little four-year university up in Nebraska. And I was getting to Iowa just as the sun was beginning to go down. And I knew that there was this spot in Iowa right by the border that I had to get through. And then after that, the roads would be a little bit nicer probably because I'd be in Nebraska, not Iowa anymore. And I knew that there was this big overpass. And I thought, oh, okay, well, you know, get through the overpass, everything will be fine. Well, the problem with that is that the entire day, I mentioned the sun had been shining, and that had been melting the snow, and what had been happening is all of that snow had been dripping down from the overpass onto the road that I was going to be driving on, and the sun was going down, and things were getting colder, and I was driving along, and all of a sudden I hit this patch of refrozen snow. And if you've never been in an accident like that, time really does slow down for you. And you watch things kind of happen in strobe lights as you're wondering, okay, maybe this is it. And I ditched my car. I was about that far away from hitting the overpass. And I was able to go and find this nice Iowa farmer who was able to tow me out of that ditch. And I was able to go on the rest of my way, which is a whole other story, which involves people that just recently got released from jail trying to sell me a used word processor. It was a fun trip. But I tell you that story because it shows the difference between what life is like in the light and what life is like in the dark. Life in the light was just like when I was driving through that sunshiny highway. Everything was melted and dried up. No problems. I could cruise right through. I could go as fast as I wanted. I could go as slow as I wanted. It didn't matter. I could hit my brakes and everything would be okay. But as soon as it got dark, as soon as it got dark and cold, that's when things began to go wrong for me in that trip. And that's kind of what John is trying to show us here in this epistle reading. This epistle reading comes from, like I was talking about, the Catholic epistles. They're those epistles that basically are not written by Paul. And so these epistles, generally speaking, were not written directly to one specific group of one specific church or one specific person like Paul's letters were. So you don't run into a Catholic epistle to the Ephesian church. But instead, if you notice, when you go through those books, they're all just listed by their author, usually. And so you have this sense that these things were meant for a wider dispersal. And so you have Peter's letters that are meant to be read by all sorts of different people. And sure, he has a target audience, but that letter got passed around from place to place to place. And people read it in all of their different contexts. And here, the letter from John, his first letter, the second chapter, this letter would get passed from place to place to place. And what all of these letters are trying to do is they're trying to address Christians that basically have been oftentimes kicked out of where they have been living. And trying to continue to sustain them with the Word of God. Continue to give them that message of the gospel. Continue to let them know what life, having been baptized and forgiven by Christ, is all about. And in John's letter, he's very specific about something that we've been trying to be at least kind of specific about this year, which is loving one another. And it all comes from Jesus' new commandment, quote unquote, to love one another as I have loved you. And Jesus even says, that's how people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And that's why John begins the way that he does and says, this is not a new commandment that I'm writing to you. This is an old commandment. Christian history has traveled quite a bit of distance up until this point. And John is basically telling all of these people in all of these Christian churches that have been dispersed throughout the world, he's saying, this is nothing new. This is just going back to the fundamentals, but it is new for you. Because you've lost some of the fundamentals, it appears. And the fundamental that the people that John is writing have lost is this fundamental of loving one another and not holding hatred for one another. And he's saying, look, I don't know who you are, but we know somebody who probably should hate us. His name is Jesus. And our sins are what made him die on that cross. Our sins are what brought him to the point where he did that for us so that he could save us. And he did it completely out of love. But you could totally understand if he was a little bit upset. If we would then take his show of love and turn to our neighbor and show them the opposite. And so John is saying, listen, live in that light. Live in that light of loving one another. Because when you get into the darkness, it gets slippery. When you get into hating other people, it gets slippery very fast. And all of a sudden, you may not be able to control yourself if you're in the midst of that darkness. I think we see that in our world today all over the place. We certainly see it in some of the things that are happening in the Middle East, but we also see it in what is happening in our own families, in what is happening in our own relationships. That when we start to engage in that hatred, that we're not able to figure out how to keep on moving forward. And thankfully, there is a guy. He's not an Iowa farmer. But he is a guy who will come into our ditch, hook himself up to us, pull us out of there, send us on our way. Because he is that light and that love that we can abide in.